On April 26th, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. Only in theaters April 26th. Rated R.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Stupidity, home of the greatest media mind ever to walk the planet.
I tell you what, man, he's a literal titan across the entire media landscape.
Okay, so here's the deal. He's a true icon in every sense of the word.
He's loved and feared more than any being to grace this planet.
There's two guys. There's a man with a voice that sounds like Barry White and Beyonce had a Jewish baby.
God himself would pay $39.99 for a cameo. Fact of the matter is, you are about to embark on a transcendent experience that can only be described as psychological nudity.
This is Stugatz, and this is Stupidity.
Here we go, Jim.
Tony!
Welcome in to another episode of Stupidity, the biggest podcast in the world, thanks to you and DraftKings. Please subscribe, rate, and review. Unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. You have made us the biggest podcast in the world. Mike, don't look now. The NFL draft just 24 hours away. We're taping this on a Wednesday. And don't look now. A third episode of Stupidity. Draft week. Crazy. How you feeling as a Jet fan, Mike? How you feeling? Listen, you know the quarterback we're taking. You cannot get yourself to a place where you think this quarterback is going to be good. And I understand why. I, too, am a Jet fan, Mike. But how are you feeling? Any more optimistic than you were when we were taping with Ross Tucker?
I feel like I'm on a roller coaster that's on its way up. You know, it's doing the click, 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 click towards the top. And I look and I can see that a piece of track is missing. And I just know at some point this thing is just going to fly off. That's how I feel right now.
Listen, this is how Jet fans feel. I feel like the Jets are going to trade the second pick to Carolina for Sam Darnold. Let's talk draft with an old friend, Mike Golick. Stupidity!
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. It was the original light beer, and to this day, it's still the best one. Miller Lite has more of the taste you want and less of the stuff you don't. And listen, the NBA playoffs are here. I cannot tell you how many times I have drowned my sorrows because of the New York Knicks, and I've drowned them in ice-cold Miller Lights. But hopefully, hopefully, there is hope. This year, I'll be celebrating my New York Knickerbockers. How about that? Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. The original light beer since 1975. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
Mike, what were you doing at a meeting, by the way, 5:30 this morning? What the hell is happening?
It wasn't a meeting. The NFLPA Trust offers a program to former players to where, for me, it was closest was Mass General, where you get basically diagnosed from head to toe, from brain to orthopedics, psychology, everything, to give me a baseline of where I am. And then I have all that information. And then going forward with my doctors, they have this information and we see how I improve upon things or where I was and where I am 2 years from now, 3 years. It's a phenomenal program that and I could not recommend enough to players because I think players, quite honestly, are kind of scared about finding out. You may find out something you don't want to know. And I don't just mean physically. We all deal with busted bones and joints. It's, you know, cognitive. Where are you there? You know, and they do a lot of brain scans and tests, and it's great. I mean, I'll sing its praises everywhere. I think
it sounds amazing. It sounds that's an incredible job by the NFL and the NFLPA. And so where do you stand, like, health wise? You're many years removed from playing in the NFL. So how are you?
Like, you know, physically, we all, as a former athlete, you deal with the physical side of it, like 7 operations on the right shoulder, 3 on the left, 2 on the knee. Now, mostly scopes, or as we call them, oil changes. You know, I got a little hip issue, a little neck issue. Basically, what the orthopedic told me was, well, the bad news is your x-rays show that eventually you'll need a new left knee, a new left hip, a new left shoulder, and a new right shoulder. He said, but the good news is the arthritis that makes you bone on bone, if it's from football, it can stay where it is for years. And he said, you're in good shape. Your weight's good. You know, you're working out. He said, hold off on all of it as long as you possibly can. So, you know, I'm fine with dealing with a little bit of pain. I can work out. I can run still. So that part doesn't worry me. It was all the cognitive, you know. I'm used to seeing, oh, yeah, my knee is messed up, and I know how to rehab that. What about my brain? So, I mean, Stu, I went through, listen, the amount you would fail on this cognitive would be unbelievable. It would be, wait a minute, are you a 3-year-old child or what?
Thanks, Mike.
I mean, it was like the old SAT stuff. Here's like 6 figures. What's the next one supposed to look like? They'd show me 6 figures for 10 seconds and pull it away, and I have to draw them. They give me a list of 15 words. I have to repeat them. And then 10 minutes later, they go back to it. Now repeat all the words from that group that were furniture or fruit. I mean, it was unreal what they do. And then again, the brain scan. And thank God my brain looks normal. There were no family jokes there once I got it. Would they find anything? But that's the stuff for me. And not to get too serious with you, which is a scary thought. But athletes are so used to rehabbing an injury, which we can do, but we also need to rehab. There are things I can do that I didn't do as well on the cognitive that I can do for my brain, you know, so rehab in that at 58, I worry more about that going forward than I do my knee or my shoulders. I don't care about that. I, you know, if I eventually need a new one, so be it, you know, but I only got one brain. So they give you exercises and things and a great baseline. That was the best thing for me, and I think is the best thing for former athletes.
Do you think
athletes.
Any of those exercises would help this brain? Okay.
No. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where I think they would talk nice to you and then pat you on the back when you leave and look at whoever came with you and said,
you only need to learn to count to 50 million.
You don't need much cognitive skills right now, Stu, okay? What you're doing is working.
I'm the draft king. I mean,
yeah, there you go. Yes, you are.
Wait, Mike, but you can finish that. Yes, you are. Sounded great.
Well, here's the great thing. DraftKings will not test you at all. There will be no cognitive test. There will be no drug test. There will be nothing. You're good.
No, they want me to gamble, Mike.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, my God, look at this. You're getting paid to talk about gambling and such. I mean, where do I sign?
We need an enforcer. I told you. I'm going to sign you just as the enforcer.
That's it.
I love the idea, both Mikes. I love the idea of me going to these same doctors and my brain being more scrambled than guys that play in the NFL. This is fucking crazy.
And they would say, what did you do? What did you? Well, I do have some records from college lacrosse.
Were you a slot receiver who did nothing but get hit over the middle?
Wes Welker.
God.
So great. Mike, I'm not certain because the doctor went bad news first and then gave you the good news. This is the difference between me and you. I'd be stuck on the bad news. I wouldn't even be able to hear the good news, man.
Well, I told the one doctor, they showed me a lot of the tests from the cognitive results, and there was a lot of good, a lot of above average, high above average. The word genius was in there a little bit. I'm making that up. But there were a couple of things that were below average, and I was kind of highlighting those to her. And she said, "Don't focus on those. Focus on the good." I said, I'm trained. I said, when I go into a film session, or when any athlete, you ask any athlete, do they remember the good plays or the bad plays? I almost say to a man or woman, they will tell you, I remember the bad plays. The bad plays are what stick in my mind. And I said, understand, I lived a life of watching film the next day, whether it was high school, college, or pros, and saying, oh, that was a good play. Okay, let's run that over just to see how good I did. But the bad play you focus on because you have to get better. So I have to watch the bad play. What did I do wrong? And what can I do to get better so I don't make that mistake again? So I said, I'm kind of inherently, you know, predisposed to looking at the negative, not in a negative attitude way, but in a way that says, okay, that was not good. How do I improve upon it? I said, so that's when you're showing me this, it said I'm below average here. I'm looking at it not as getting depressed or dejected. I'm looking at it, okay, right. What do I need to do to get that right, to a better
that's,
level?
That's the way you've lived your life. More wear and tear on your mind and your body, playing in the NFL or doing morning radio?
Oh, my God. My mind doing morning radio. The 4:15 wake-up call for 20-some years. Yeah, that definitely takes its toll.
Have you been able to sleep later yet? Are you still waking up at that same time? Okay, good.
Oh, yeah. You know, it probably took me about 3 weeks to where I'd still roll over at like 4:15. But now, oh, my God, the world looks different at 7:30 in the morning when I can actually not be in a studio somewhere. It's pretty
like,
wild.
Yeah, this is great. We spoke to Golic like the week after his final show. Ed Stanzik was producing the show with me. Golic got up that Monday. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mike. He like got up and got like went through the motions of getting ready and going to do the morning show because he had been doing it for 20 years.
Yeah, I mean it was just a habit thing, and it's like okay, you can lay back down, you know, and go back to sleep. It's it is a wild thing. It's while I'm going to get back into this business. I don't know if it will be a daily morning show anymore. did my couple of decades there. Let's try.
I just imagine when you're doing it at 4 a.m. that it's autopilot, and it must be really hard to turn off that autopilot.
I I always say this because Mike, who did my son Mike, who did morning show with me for a few years, he always set like 8 alarms. I set one alarm for 20-some years. And I never was late for a show. So I was always proud of that. A lot of that, you just start to naturally get up at that time. But yeah, I never had an issue where I was late.
I can tell you, those 8 fucking alarms really helped your son out when he missed weekend observations on a Sunday morning.
But let me tell you, still one of the greatest shows ever when he was at that wedding the night before. I was freaking calling Sarah Stain and going, anybody seen my son? Anybody seen my son? And but you know what? It turned out to be a great show. Listen, as I told my kids when I first started that show and they were 10, 9, and 6, I said, kids, I sat them down and I said, your content, okay? No matter what you do, you are content from now until when I'm done in this medium. And obviously, Mike certainly understands.
Mike, have you ever had to apologize to your kids for something you did? So probably more so when they were teenagers, right? Because my daughters are teenagers now. And yesterday we shot a video celebrating DraftKings and my stomach was jiggling up and down. And my kids were happy for me, but they were mortified because their friends were making fun of me. And so I spent the entire night up. It was one of the best days of my life. And I spent my night apologizing to my daughters. That's happened to you, right? Yeah.
You do that when, and you said it right, in the teenage years. That's when we embarrass our kids the most. That's when the kids feel they're smarter than us. Yeah, exactly. And those are those years that you hope you come out of the other end where they maybe appreciate you at some point. Your case, I don't know if that'll ever happen, but there is embarrassment. But I've had funny stories of all the kids, you know, from Mike doing dumbbell flies and clinking his nuts between the dumbbells when he was a teenager to having to report or having to talk about him getting, you know, underage drinking arrested at Notre Dame his freshman year. So, you know, you do the good stories and the bad stories, you know, and things like that. So it just comes with the territory. And
compared to Sid, Mike was the easy one.
Listen, my three kids.
I love them.
The first one usually being the most kind of neurotic. Of my three kids, the last one, if you'd said, okay, you have three kids, you know what their personalities are, who's going to get arrested in college? Mike would have been the last one, okay? I thought Sydney and Jake somehow, some way. Those two had a clean run through college. Mike gets arrested like his second month his freshman year. I mean, talk about losing your mulligan early.
That is great. Mike, I want to get into a couple of things within the sports world. Obviously, the draft, and then something that happened in an independent baseball league quickly. But I'm wondering, thinking back to when you were – what was the draft like when you were drafted, Mike?
So a lot of it was different. Now, I got hurt in the first game, and I played the rest of my senior year, and then I got operated on at the end. So I went to the combine. The combine, when I came out, was at Arizona State. It was outside. Everything was outdoors. So I was there, and then I went in the 10th round. It was a two-day draft. I got called. My brother Bob, who was in the NFL at that point, and I knew I wasn't getting drafted the first day. So he brought beer, like a case of beer, to the dorm the second day, and we were sitting out for the draft. I got drunk, sober, and drunk again before I got called. That's how long it was. I basically got a call in the 10th round. I got a call around midnight from the Houston Oilers saying, "We drafted you." I was like, "Oh, my great. Okay, see you." I'm not, you know. So it was a little different. So when I hear – you know, and I actually, you know, when Greeny and I were doing the show, we were at the draft one year, and I'll never forget, that was the year Aaron Rodgers, me and Merrill Hodge kind of went at it on NFL. It was called NFL Tonight back then, not NFL Live. He thought Alex Smith should go number one. I said Aaron Rodgers should go number one. And turns out, obviously, Alex did, and Aaron dropped. And I remember Greeny and I interviewed Aaron at the draft right after the pick. He was so mad. And I kept saying, "Aaron, you went in the first round, okay? Here's the difference of two people is a guy drops, still goes in the first round, and I went in the 10th round. So pardon me if I don't feel bad because instead of going one, you went in the 20s, okay? I went 255. Feel that one, okay?"
Right.
So, but, you know, players do what they do to get that chip on their shoulder. Like Tom Brady knows all the quarterbacks that got picked in front of him. So, you know, you find motivation. I was happy to get drafted. You know, but then I knew as a 10th rounder, again, in today's world, I wouldn't have been drafted. So you just know you're in a fight, you know, to make the team. And that's what you have to go try and do.
So who was the other analyst and what quarterback did he like in that draft? The Rodgers draft.
It was
Merrill
Hodge. It was me, Hodge, Sean Salisbury.
Do you remind Hodge of that all the time? Because I would.
No. I don't like to rub it in.
See, get out of here.
Because sometimes you get the bear, sometimes the bear gets you. Because remember a couple of years ago when they got rid of Alex Smith, I said, "Listen, anybody expecting Mahomes to start that next year and do good is fooling themselves," you know. And he only threw 50 touchdown passes. Yeah. So
you and I shared that take, Mike.
Yes, we did.
Whatever take, Mike. You wait for me to give the take first, then you go the other way. Okay, that's what you got to do.
Yeah, that one didn't live well, as they say, or age well.
Did not age well. So, Mike, if I told you back when you were being drafted, you got drunk twice waiting to be drafted with your brother, drank a case of beers. If I told you then that the draft would turn into this today, you would have told me what? Because this is crazy.
Oh, yeah. I would not have believed what it turned into. But a lot of things I wouldn't have believed that have changed in sports over time. But, I mean, it still blows my mind of how excited people get to see who their team takes. You know, it is amazing. I mean, for so many years, this draft is in New York and it's packed. And I remember when I was doing the draft for ESPN on TV, I would be doing the later days, but the crowds would still be there, you know, just going nuts over these, you know, that point later, fifth, sixth round picks, third round picks. I mean, it always amazed me and that's why we know. That's why, you know, football is king. When the worst all-star game in pro sports is the football game, yet people are like, "Oh my God, why is it on?" Well, you know why? It still rates. People still watch it because it's football, and the degenerates like you still bet on it, and we will not with DraftKings. We'll bet on it as well. So, I mean, it's unbelievable.
It's amazing. We still, I mean, listen, Mikey A and I watch it because every year it's the only thing we have. I mean, we're Jet fans. That's it.
It's the best day of the year.
Well, that's true. That's
all we have is hope, Mike.
Yeah, and that's a downside. You're usually not watching any Jets in that game
either. The Pro Bowl. Yeah. Yes. So when you look at this draft, Mike, it's interesting. Take Trevor Lawrence out of the equation. You did a lot of college games. I don't know how many games you did of any of the quarterbacks that are about to be drafted. Yeah. Unless you think someone's better than Lawrence, take him out of the equation. Who is the best quarterback?
Yeah, I'll take him out.
So he's who's the best of the other four?
Yeah. I do like Wilson. So to me, it does start at three. Now, the thing about the BYU kid, which was amazing to me, was – And this is what still aggravates me, because I have talked about the combine for so long, about, you know, the underwear right. Olympics and all that. And when he made that throw rolling left and that deep throw downfield and everybody lost their minds, I'm like, fuck, are we doing? what are we doing? Dude's in shorts. And this is nothing to do against him. I think he's an excellent quarterback. This is everybody drooling over the fact that in shorts and a T-shirt, with no rush and no coverage, he rolled left and on air threw the ball downfield to a wide open.
I saw Sam Darnold make the same throw, Mike.
Against the 49ers.
I mean, so what are we doing here? I didn't understand. I really didn't. So again, Zach Wilson, I like him a lot. I like him as the second best quarterback. So it's not against him, but I saw that. I'm like, are you shitting me? This is what we're doing, you know, but we do it for years. You know, remember, there's no game played after January. And then all of a sudden, all the things that change from January to April blows my mind. But so I take those two quarterbacks. And then at three, you're sitting there. And for Kyle Shanahan, and again, this always He's happens the around the draft. Yes, it's yes. Lion season. For him to say we're still deciding, that's a bunch of bullshit. There's no way you trade up to three and not know exactly.
Mike, now he likes five guys with that pick. There's five quarterbacks he could take there.
Ridiculous.
He's going to take all five of them. He's going to take all five.
It's a joke. They know exactly who they're going to be taking. Now, who that is, I don't know, because Trey Lance could have the highest ceiling. But if you have Garoppolo there another year, let the kid learn. Because, you know, we know quarterbacks that come out early struggle. He's an FCS quarterback that came out early. So, but man, the upside to him, you know, and I hate the comparables, but I know they're making it to Josh Allen. And boy, Josh Allen, another one coming from a smaller school, did an incredible job of getting better. Kudos to the staff in Buffalo of his completion percentage getting better. I really like Trey Lance. Mac Jones is a ready-made quarterback. I don't want to hear anybody say the pocket passer is outdated in this league and no good anymore. Listen, if you can be in the pocket and make a timely throw, there's always
one. Just won a Super Bowl, Mike.
Exactly right. We all keep talking about off-platform throws. Oh, God, he rolled left in shorts and threw the ball downfield, or he rolled right. Now, that's cool if you can do that, but you make a living in the pocket. You make a living making your plays on the timing routes, the out routes, the in routes, the seam routes, whatever route you want to call. You make your living on being accurate on those throws in smaller windows, in timing routes, giving your receiver a chance to run after the catch. That's what you do. Mac Jones can do that. He can't move like the other guys. Justin Fields moves incredibly well. He throws the ball well as well, but he has that movement with him. So it's whatever Kyle Shanahan feels will fit that offense the best. They got a great running game. They got a great tight end. You know, your throws don't have to be unbelievably far down the field if you don't want. So I think you're fine anywhere. So I don't know who he's going to take, but I know he knows.
He knows
who he's going
Justin to take. Fields is the tricky one to me, because I figured when the Jets lost that game, they got the second pick, I figured that was going to be our quarterback. I was fine with that. I was happy with that. I'm not certain why he slipped. Justin Fields has done – he's done everything you would want a college quarterback to do over the last two seasons, Mike.
So here's the thing here, and I don't know how much you talk or think about this. Or should come into it, because I've talked about Big 12 quarterbacks. Name me a Big 12 quarterback, and I've got a few now, but leading up to just a couple of years ago, the Big 12 quarterback that came in the league and lit it up. You couldn't. And it was like the defenses were bad there. You're a wide open receiver, so they come into the league and they don't do anything. Now, Patrick Mahomes certainly has. Baker Mayfield had a great rookie year, down second year, really good third year. So you got to think he's trending well. Kyler Murray is certainly – well, they didn't have a great passing game. They had a good running game last year. His passing game, their passing game needs to improve. But you do see some – the best passer is Mahomes without question. But you start to see some Pac-12 guys doing a little better. So then I ask this, because what you just said about Justin Fields, could you say that about the last few quarterbacks at Ohio State in college? They showed you everything that they could show you. So then I go to, and I don't know how much this comes into play. You can't generalize too much because someone's going to break the mold. Name me the last Ohio State quarterback that produced big in the NFL. Name me the last Alabama quarterback that came and produced highly in the NFL. And I'll just stop you. You really.
But Mike, the only thing I'll say, the only thing I'll say with Fields is he went to initially he went to Georgia and it did not, and that's a quarterback Georgia. University, yes. Right? And it didn't work out, and then he transferred to Ohio State. That's all.
So I wonder how much you look at something like that to where you start to say, well, my God, the system's so good in like an Ohio State and Alabama. Now again, Trevor Lawrence. Well, you saw Deshaun Watson perform well at Clemson, and now he's doing well in the NFL. You see Trevor Lawrence doing the same thing, but you just wonder. So it's wrong to generalize.
No, but I think you're right here. Yeah,
Alabama,
I think you're onto something.
Quarterback, but you still have a sample size of quarterbacks that led Alabama to national championship for help, but did nothing in the pros, and the same at Ohio State. So you can generalize, but then you can say, okay, is Mac Jones going to be an exception to that rule? Is Justin Fields going to be an exception to that rule? You want to take them on their individual talent when you watch it, but – to me, it's hard not to have that seep into your head. Well, man, those programs really have not had big time, or they were big time in college, but they never became big time in the NFL.
It drives me crazy. I mean, think about what you just said. Saban has won that many national championships without a big time quarterback. Crazy. Yeah. Crazy.
Without a big time quarterback. That's exactly right. It's amazing.
Mike, because we don't pay any attention to this, although we should, it's like I was laughing about this. I was thinking about this before you came on. Patrick Mahomes, when Eric Fisher is healthy, is maybe the best quarterback we've ever seen. Take that guy out of the equation and look how Patrick Mahomes looked in the Super Bowl against a good defensive line and a good defense with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're so important, the offensive line, so important, yet we pay zero attention to the poor offensive linemen. So who is, Mike, the best offensive lineman in this draft? Because I maintain, if you think quarterback is the most important position in sports, the guy who protects the quarterback is the second most important position in sports.
It's that kid, Penei Sewell from Oregon. I mean, the dude is 330, moves like he's 300. I mean, he is to me, kind of has it all. He run blocks, he very aggressively, he gets to the second level incredibly well, and not only just walls you there, but really stings you there, and he has really good feet for pass blocking. So I think he is that guy. And I brought this up when I was on Mike's show, you know, because Kyle Pitts, and listen, deserves the talk that he gets, right? The dude is – unreal as far as what
Mike,
he
we taped with him yesterday. We'll air it Thursday. Dan and I did. He said flatly, "I'm the best player in this draft." Flatly,
he and Trevor Lawrence, you could say, are the two best. And then, you know, and then you go from there. But then I'll say this: so for a team like Cincinnati, if you have the choice, unless Atlanta takes a Kyle Pitts, if you have a choice, so say both are sitting there for Cincinnati, Kyle Pitts and Penei Sewell. The thing everybody immediately goes to is says, oh, look what Kyle Pitts can do for you. And listen, I get it. 8 targets a game, 5 catches, 6 catches, a touchdown or two. You know, this kid's going to be in line for 70, 80 or more catches. You know, 13 to 15 maybe yards a catch would be incredible. Maybe a little less than that, maybe more, who knows. And you hope he can hit double-digit touchdowns. Maybe he will, maybe he won't, which is phenomenal, right? But, man, what people don't see because it's not in the box score is what an old lineman can do. When you get a great one and plug them in, look at guys that went right to – not forget Pro Bowls. We're all pros from rookie year on. A Zach Martin, a Quentin Nelson. The kid Tristan Wirfs should have been last year the right tackle from Tampa Bay. And right tackle is becoming as important as left tackle. So if you can solidify your line with a guy like Sewell or some of the other tackles, probably three really productive tackles in this, where you can just put them in and out barring injury, and we know that's tough, you're a decade guy, you know, you're there. That can be just as valuable, but people don't see it. They want to see, oh, look at those seven catches. He had two touchdowns. Wow, look at that. You know, but steady Eddie, you know, 70 plays a game. You're out there run blocking, pass blocking, not getting up a sack, giving up a pressure or two, and that's it.
Because that, you know, Joe Burrow wants a weapon. Well, but what's the point of having a weapon if you don't have time to get the weapon, the ball? I mean,
listen, just watch him get carted off the field and say, you know what, how's it look thrown to a weapon when you're, you know, laying on your ass, unfortunately. So that, I'm not saying one's more important than the other, but you can't dismiss one.
All right, two quick ones, then baseball, and then a quick game. We'll get you out of here. Defensive lineman, best defensive lineman, Mike. Who do you got?
Wow. Well, I mean, probably the edge rushers, probably the two kids from Miami. Rousseau and Phillips, I think.
Yeah.
I'd probably go with those guys. You know, you start to see more when it started changing, Stu, to the tweener when I played had no position in the league. Then it evolved to now that guy, like a Dwight Freeney, a 6'1", 6'2", 250, 260 guy who was too big for a linebacker and too small for a D lineman. Now they became the rage, right? And Dwight certainly lived up to that in how he played. But now you're seeing these guys are 6'4", 6'5". Look at Myles Garrett, 6'5". You got the long arms, and that's what these guys have. So you have long arms, and you're quick around the corner. So those edge rushers you're seeing now are just freakishly fast and play with great leverage. So you probably look at those, you know, the kid from Michigan, was it Quiddipe, I believe. I was supposed to do there against it. It got canceled. But through the edge rushers, the interior line D line this year is not strong. The three technique and the one technique guys are not strong this year. It's really more.
Do you
those
agree
edge
Pitts
guys.
Is the best player in the draft? Pitts thinks he's the best player in the draft. I love that. I love that he said that.
Well, listen, the most important position is quarterback. So he's Trevor Lawrence is the best player. Pitts is, I mean, what a mixture of wide receiver and tight end. I mean, these guys just become better and better athletes all the time.
Imagine Shanahan moved up to get him. Hey, you put Pitts and Kittles. I mean,
I mean, listen, you know, the two tight end thing, you go back to New England with Gronk and Aaron Hernandez. I mean, that was really starting that two. One wasn't just a blocker. You had two really productive tight ends of how dangerous
Mike,
it can
do
be.
You remember years ago? I think it's when you were still doing the show with Greeny, where I came on as a guest and you guys asked me about, I had some rules to kind of change baseball, right? And I threw the magic at bat at you. And the magic at bat is when, you know, there's like Mike Trout can, at one time, the manager can go out of order and give Mike Trout.
Put anybody in at any time.
And obviously for the Angels, that guy would be Mike Trout. And then I did. And then I said, let's eliminate extra innings and just go to a home run derby. And I think you may have been with me on it. Greeny was laughing. I can't remember the exact reaction. Yeah. Listen, you were with me, but you were also laughing at me because why not? You were laughing at me.
Well, that's just another day that ends.
So the Pioneer League, okay, the Pioneer Baseball League, an independent baseball league, has adopted one of my ideas. They are ditching, and I'm telling you, Mike, you will see this in the majors very soon. They are ditching extra innings. They are going mano a mano, okay? Home run derby. Five at-bats, best player from one team, best player from the other team. Whoever hits the most homers in five at-bats wins, game over. How about that, Mike? I should be outraged.
Wait, so five pitches?
Yeah, they'll get five swings. They have to take five swings. Yes.
Okay,
yes,
five swings.
I mean, Mike.
So they get to pick
that? Yeah. I'm a genius. I mean, it's just
listen. Okay, so I'll go two ways. Number one, it's kind of like I'm one of those that likes to see overtime be the sport you're actually playing to find a winner. But I get you're looking for something that ends quicker and is a little more exciting. So the penalty kick in soccer, the shots in the overtime shots in hockey, the shootout in hockey, very exciting. So I think for the fan, from a player standpoint, Stu. And I always think of players, I would rather continue playing the game. From a fan's point of view and an entertainment point of view and a let's get the hell out of here point of view, I think it's a great idea. Because who wants to sit there for another four freaking innings? You know, so I like the speed up. I know some are do it where you start with the man on second base. But I like this. Let's just You pick a guy, you pick a guy, five swings.
Extra innings is great in the postseason, Mike, because there are stakes attached to it, right? Regular season game 78. Right, right. I don't need to be up till 2 in the morning because the game's 7-7.
Completely agree.
Inning.
Because, yeah, there is nothing like overtime hockey in the playoffs. It's phenomenal. Yes.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to get you out of here quickly. We have two quick games for you. One is Golic or Nolik, okay? Golic or Nolik. You just spit up water. He just spit up water. He just fucking spit up water.
Jesus. Only in the Stu game. My God.
Should have seen yesterday. Yes.
Golic or
should have seen
Nolik
when we played with Ross Tucker. Tuck yeah or tuck off.
Thank you. Oh, that one you like.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Right. Okay. So what am I deciding?
So you just get Golic is obviously yes, and Nolik is get the hell out. Is tuck Nolik off.
All right.
Okay. Jeez. It's the same game. Just all a different name. That's all. Pineapple on pizza. Golic or Nolik?
Nolik for me, but I don't mind if people do it. But Nolik
okay
for me.
Saying excuse me after a burp, Golic or Nolik?
Oh, yeah, to say excuse
exactly
me.
Right. Exactly.
Look at me. Yeah, I burp. Yeah. Okay. What do you want me to do?
Yeah. Farting under the sheets, Golic or Nolik?
Oh, that's Golic. Hell yeah.
Of course. Right.
And after you do it, don't tell me you're not going to then test it out and see what it did.
Yeah, I try to trap it in the covers. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I want the whole family to enjoy, Mike.
Absolutely right.
At least two quarterbacks from this draft class will be Hall of Famers. Golic or Nolik?
Oh, man. The odds are so far against that, so I'll say Nolik.
All right. Final one on this, and then we got a quick another game. We'll get you out of here. Massaging another man's ass, Golic or Nolik?
Well, if you lose a bet, I have to say Golic because I massaged ass.
Yes, you did. Your hands were in my dirt, Mike.
I did. I had my hand in the dirt, though. I did have. I know that not only brought gloves, I brought construction gloves for that one.
All right, you'll love this one. I think we hope. I don't know if your kids will. All right, so we're gonna do a kid. We're gonna do a kid draft. Okay, Mike, Jake, Sid. Yeah. Okay, so we're gonna with certain situations, and you draft your kids in the order. Go 3-2-1. Okay, the one you would least want to do this with, or the one you would most want to do
okay
it with. Okay. All right, taking a road trip, Mike, Jake, and Sid. 3-2-1.
Three would be Sid. She would drive me nuts. Two would be Mike. It would be fine. One would be Jake because Jake loves to drive and he loves long road trips.
Okay, all right, Sid. Poor Sid.
She's going to get crushed in a lot of this because I have it stuck in the back of my head. She's killing me all the way to this freaking wedding that's costing me a freaking arm and a leg. I told her she's the third of three kids until after her wedding. So
I mean, could Mike get married? I mean, Jesus.
I'd love that. Someone else paying for it.
Oh, God. All right, round of golf. In order, Mike, Jake, Sid.
Sydney last again because she can't play. And if I did that, she would want me to buy her a new set of clubs and a new outfit. And then I literally would have to say a tie because I golf with Mike and Jake all the time. They're a ball. The three of us golf all the time and we have an absolute ball together. So I would put the two of them tied.
All right. You're moving. So the kid you would most rely on to show up on time and help you move, Mike, Jake, Sid. There's no way Sid's
nope, Sid's last again, without question. And then she would say, why do I have to move this? You're here.
Right.
I would probably say Jake next, because while Jake would be very willing, Jake has a back that if he does something or moves the wrong way too much, he's done. So moving and helping me move heavy stuff could be a crippling event for him. So he would be next, right. And then Mike would be there because Mike's like a mule. I just pile shit on his back and say, go carry it.
That's what we did with weekend That's what we did with weekend observations, by the way.
Yes.
Go, Joe!
Yeah.
Going out for an expensive dinner, Mike Jackson.
Knowing it's going to be expensive.
Yeah.
Probably Jake, because Jake's gone through this. Jake owns a couple of, he and his wife, a couple of Orange Theory fitness studios. They were closed for a while. They've had, you know, struggling to come back. So Jake is money conscious right now.
Okay.
Okay. Because of where he is in his life with his businesses, trying to build them back up. And then it would be Mike. Because Mike, while Mike, remember, is an O-lineman, and Mike, I'm sure, probably has his first dollar somewhere, but he is starting to spend a little more. He's okay to spend some. Sidney would spend the thing with Sid is the expensive dinner would be on me. She wouldn't be paying for it, or she would use the credit right. card that goes directly to us. So anything that money involves, right. Sidney's going to win.
Listen, you might be paying for it, but with Sydney, it'd be the best damn restaurant.
Oh, my God. Without question.
All right. A couple more. We'll get you out of here. Going to a baseball game. So that's a 9-inning game, Mike. Maybe it goes extras. You're there till 2 in the morning. Mike Jenkinson.
I would say collectively that's a tie. None of us would go. Or if we were there, every single one of us would leave by the 3rd inning. Did you not?
Allowing which one of them would you most or least allow to cut your hair?
Oh my God. Mike does cut hair, so Mike would be the first. Mike does it. Well, Mike doesn't have a lot of hair to cut, but at least he's had clippers in his hand, so I would trust him the most. Then Jake. No way on God's green earth I'm putting scissors in Sydney's hand to go anywhere near my head.
I have to write a new thing here just to try and get Sid number one in something.
Well, she is.
I got to figure out some other category.
Sid's number one. Anything that has to do with spending money, Sydney will be number one.
Mike, what I would like you to do is get Sid on this goddamn podcast, yeah. Okay? I want to ask her the same questions. Like, what do you think? Who do you think your dad chose? Because Sid comes off as a kid who says, so I'm going to say, Sid, we put these in front of your dad. Who would he most want to go on a road trip with? And I think Sid would say me, of course.
I don't know. Right? Sid, the one thing is Sid's pretty self-aware of how annoying she could be. I think she would be, oh, shit, okay. Dad wouldn't want to be on the road with me. Yeah. The only problem with that. Sid, I don't know how much you guys accept F-bomb. She would drop some every other sentence. So, you know.
Get it, Mike, get
yeah,
it
there
on,
you go.
Okay?
Fuck yeah.
All right, Mike, last two. We'll get you out of here. Thank you for the time. Yep. Cooking you dinner, Mike, Jake, Sid. Who would you most least want to cook you dinner?
Least would probably, again, be Sid. Though she's getting better. She is getting better. She is cooking more. Next would be Mike. Mike does the meal prepare thing. But first would probably be Jake. Jake likes to cook and cooks a lot.
You're noticing a pattern here, Mikey. Yeah, Jake's the favorite kid.
He is right now because
Jake's married.
Yeah,
he's got a job
for
exactly
paid for.
Mike, the reason I still hold a little grudge against Mike because when we started working together, I thought there would be a little more adulation from son to father. Instead, it was almost disgust from son to father. I was like, wait a minute, you know, I've done this for a couple decades. Do you give a shit? And he's like, no, I just disagree with all your takes. Like, all right.
I taught him well.
Yeah,
Mike.
You did.
But Mike, he stuck the landing. He nailed the ending.
He did. Give him that.
I've watched that back. I still cry. It's crazy. All right, going fishing. God, poor Sid. Mike Jakerson.
Oh, God. The amount of lines Sid would snarl up on that. And, yeah, she's last for sure. And that would probably be another tie. Mike and Jake both love to fish. Jake fishes more. So he might be first there. Mike will go. We have fished together. Especially we started fishing when they were young, when I had my place in Orlando when I was playing with the Eagles. I had a pontoon boat, and that's where the boys first learned to pee off the edge of a boat. It was fun watching my young kids, you know, trying to, you know, pee over the side of a pontoon boat. It was pretty cool.
You've never been prouder. Huh?
I can see it on your face. Yes. Until they had to take a dump and then tried to teach him how to hang out of the motor and do that, you know.
Mikey, yeah, I think I have the one in which he would go Sid first.
All right, go.
Okay. Of your children, of your three beautiful, loving, caring children, the one who would spend your money the quickest is?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Sydney takes the 1, 2, and 3 slot. Let me tell you the quick story about it. There was one time in Sydney's life that she saved me money. Here's the story, if you got time. The day she was born, okay, Chris is in labor, and the baby and Sydney's coming out. The doctor hadn't shown up. The nurse at one point ran out in the hallway to see if the doctor was there. I was back basically down there. I thought I was going to deliver Sydney. I didn't. The nurse ended up delivering Sydney. And because of that, because the doctor didn't show up, we did not get charged. The doctor did not charge us. So there was a first and last in that scenario. It was the first time Sydney made an appearance into the world and the last time she saved me any fucking money.
She said to herself, she couldn't speak then, but she was saying to herself, Dad, I'm going to make up for this for the rest of my fucking life.
Look, I saved you all this money. That was at birth.
Admit it, though.
First and last time she saved me money.
Admit it, though. When you thought you were going to deliver, you were down there like a quarterback yelling, Blue 42!
I was in a stance like a catcher, man. I had my hands ready to go. Yeah, I was ready. You know, we always had that discussion. You know, you say north of the equator or south of the equator. I was down there on all of them, man. Let me see this. Let me catch this. So, luckily, I didn't have to because I probably would have dropped her.
That's great. Mike, thank you, man. This was fun. We appreciate the time. We miss you. Mike, Jesus Christ. First off, Golic is fantastic. We need an enforcer on the pirate ship, okay? I love that man. I really do. I love that man, and I love that family. I love them. But holy shit. Chris Sims is saying Miller's the best quarterback in the fucking draft. Mike Golic loves the kid from BYU. Mike, he's going to be terrible.
Mike, he's going to be so doomed. Bad.
Mike, we are doomed. And I keep calling him Miller. His name's Wilson.
He's going to be the Sydney Golic of this draft.
Stupidity. Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. It was the original light beer, and to this day, it's still the best one. Miller Lite has more of the taste you want and less of the stuff you don't. And listen, the NBA playoffs are here. I cannot tell you how many times I have drowned my sorrows because of the New York Knicks, and I've drowned them in ice-cold Miller Lights. But hopefully, there is hope. This year, I'll be celebrating my New York Knickerbockers. How about that? Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. The original light beer since 1975. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.